Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. And in this passage we're going to study a topic, slain by my sword. Slain by my sword. Zephaniah chapter 2, let's begin reading with verse 12. Ye Ethiopians, also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation, and dry like a wilderness. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her. All the beasts of the nations, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows, desolation shall be in their thresholds, for he shall uncover the cedar work. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly, that said in her heart, I am, and there is none beside me. How she become a desolation, a place for beasts to lie down in. Every one that passeth by her shall hiss and wag his hand. Now the Lord has a sword, and with that sword he has slain nations, and he will slay nations. When God wields his sword, there is not a living thing that can defend himself against the Lord. He can take down a city, or he can wipe down an entire nation with his sword and leave it so desolate that only wild birds and beasts will dwell there. That's what you've read in the text here. He says, you Ethiopians, you'll be slain by my sword. He said, I'll destroy Assyria and will make the Nineveh a desolation. And then he's got just birds there, cormorants, bitterns, beasts dwelling there. So let me tell you something. This sword of the Lord, this is a very powerful sword. There's no nation. Nations in God's sight are like a drop of a bucket. There's no nation that can defend itself against God. We are a nation of blasphemers. I'm telling you, Hollywood stinks. You know that? Hollywood stinks. And I'll tell you why. Because they produce movies, and in those movies, it seems now to qualify for something that's going to make a lot of money at the box office. They got to take God's name in vain. GD this, and then they say Jesus as an expletive. Yeah, yeah. You think, and then they use that filthy language in order to be able to make millions of dollars. And you think God sitting up there on his throne is happy with that? I don't think so. People say, I think one of these days there might be an earthquake over there to knock out some of that stuff. You can bet on it. If I were there, I would move, or I'd get right with God. I'll tell you, honestly. Because God has a sword, and you're a pipsqueak. How dare you, in your little prideful mannerisms, in your little prideful pea brain, how dare you invoke the name of God Almighty, our Creator, the author of our Bible, the author of our salvation? How dare you take his name and blaspheme that name and then expect somehow that you and your pride are going to be big shot and people ought to look up to you because you really know how to use God's name. Oh, yeah, yeah. You put those names together so you can get a laugh. Yeah, you want people to think you're really something. Look how I use his name. Oh, I'm big. You're a pipsqueak. He'll take you out as an afterthought. You don't count. This world is wicked. And God's got a sword, and God can take down a city here at big old Corpus Christi. Ah, yeah, man, we're something else. One swoop of God's sword, and this city is gone, decimated, without inhabitant. That's how powerful the sword is. Notice Gideon relied upon the sword of the Lord. In Judges chapter 7, verse 8, his army was down. to 300 people by God's design, because he wanted everybody in the earth to know this wasn't Gideon, this is me. Judges chapter 7, look at verse 8. The people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now, what did he fight? Those 300 fought against the Midianites, who were spread all over the valley. And Judges chapter 8, verse 10 tells you just how many they destroyed. Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. So you take the 120,000 that were already dead, add the 15,000 that were fixing to die, 300 men faced 135,000 troops of the enemy, and they beat them. Why? Because they relied upon the sword of the Lord. Do you hear what Gideon said? He said, when you go in there to fight those guys and the pitchers break and we sound the trumpets, you're to shout. And what were they to shout? He says, you shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Judges 7:18. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That's a pretty good sword. That's pretty smart of Gideon. If you're going to win that battle, get God's sword on your side. Amen? Now look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 12. Speaking of cussing, taking God's name in vain like that, don't you know that the clergy is among some of the worst? I was with a fishing guide one time, and he said that he had a couple of priests that were his clients. He said, of all the clients that he takes out all year long, those two men had filthier mouths than any that he'd ever taken out. Think about that. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 12. God offers David three choices because of a sin that David committed in numbering the people. And he says, either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. Now the Lord got that sword going, and in chapter 21, verse 14, you know how many he killed? 70,000 men in 3 days. 70,000. He did it with a sword. Chapter 21, verse 16. David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. They're getting ready to die, man. They're entreating God to stop. 1 Chronicles 21, 16. The angel of the Lord did that with a sword, the sword of the Lord. Look in chapter 21, verses 26 and 27. David built an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into his sheath thereof. Well, David then knew for sure that the fighting was over, that no more pestilence, that nobody else was going to die as a result of his sin. The angel had to put that sword up. What a terrible instrument of warfare that sword is. Look in Isaiah chapter 34. We're just looking at a few instances so you get a real good feel for this sword before we go on and make some application out of the text here today. Isaiah chapter 34. Look at verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. And imagine one man, that's God, standing up and addressing the entire world. And that's what he does here. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. As I've told you before, you can count half the population of the earth dead before you ever get to Armageddon. in Revelation 6, Revelation 9. And right there, you've got half the population gone. You've got a third of the population gone in Revelation 9, and a quarter of the population gone in Revelation chapter 6. So a quarter of the whole leaves you three quarters, and a third of those leaves you two quarters, or half. Half the population gone, you hadn't even had Armageddon yet. Then Jesus shows up with this sword. Delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also should be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of the carcass, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together with a scroll. And all the host shall fall down as the leaf falleth from off the vine, and as a falling from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Why? Verse 8, it's the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Oh, God stands up to defend his people and brings that sword, and I'm telling you, when God comes with that sword, look out, man. There's no, I don't care what kind of weapon of warfare you have, you will not beat him. Nobody can. Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12, look at verse 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Boy, isn't that something? God just said, lay to heart what I'm telling you. Do what I say. And they wouldn't do it. And what happened? Desolation. The spoilers are come up upon the high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. Wow. Now, what is all that about? Well, what that's about is that God has this weapon called the sword. The sword of the Lord. And when he uses it for punishment and vengeance, and when he brings it out, you're done if he's after you. Now, when he comes back, he's going to have this sword. But you know something? You see this sword now, and this sword is coming out of his mouth. Revelation 1:16. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance as the sun shineth in his strength. Now, wait a sec. This thing comes out of his mouth. It's sharp and it's two-edged. Then you know what? This sword is connected with his word. And indeed, that's right. As a matter of fact, when you saw that the sword was sharp and two-edged, it reminded you, didn't it, of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It should have anyway. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what is that? Well, he says the word of God is quick and powerful. Quick, it can make you alive. Powerful, it's deadly too. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Nobody can do that but God, and of the joints and marrow. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, nobody can do that but God. So that sword that is so powerful that has killed so many people and will kill so many people in the future is a sword that is connected with his words, and we have that sword available to us in our weapons of warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. You're to put on the whole armor of God, and when you do, in verse 17, you are to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, isn't that something then? The sword of the Lord is so powerful that with it God has taken out 185,000 troops in one night, 70,000 people in Israel in 3 days, 135,000 with 300 opposing them, and then... half the population of the earth. Just like that. That is a very powerful sword. And that same sword is connected with these words, and is indeed these words. And these words are so powerful. We have in our hands the words of God, the sword of the Lord. Therefore, you and I have power with this sword to stand against the enemy, our adversary, the devil, to stand against the world, our enemy, to stand against sin and the strongholds of sin in our lives, and to put to death the old man. Don't you know that if God can wipe out 185,000 troops in a night, he can wipe out our old man in a moment? We have in the words of God, which are so powerful, we have the power to preach the words of God. And by preaching, we have the power to expect people to be brought under the conviction of God's words. We can actually see souls torn away from the devil's grip and brought to Jesus Christ. Man, what a powerful weapon. There's no wonder when you consider the power of God's words as compared to the sword of the Lord, why the devil has attacked it. Now, I don't know what you believe. I really don't. I don't have an idea what you're thinking about what I'm going to say. There are people that have their modern Bibles, and they think by their modern Bibles that they somehow have something easier to read, something easier to handle. Let me tell you something. There's nothing easier to read. There's nothing easier to handle that is going to give you more power than God's words. People quit thinking about the power that is associated with this book, and all they can think about is, I just want something that makes me feel good, that I can read, that I can understand a little better. Look, the words of God are pure words. The sword of the Lord is powerful. And as a result of the power that's in this book, God doesn't want his words messed with. And the first thing that the devil did when he came out in Genesis chapter 3 is he started messing with what God said. He got Eve to question whether or not what God had said was what really God said. Yea, hath God said, he said. And eventually he got Eve so tangled up in the words of God, what she was adding, what he was subtracting, what he was lying about, that he convinced her that she wasn't going to surely die, even though God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. She got her, and she took that fruit and died, and everybody since then has died. You know what he messed with? He messed with the sword of the Lord. He diffused the power of the weapon. Where do you get your faith from? You get your faith from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All the devil has to do is destroy the power of it by destroying the words themselves, and you have nothing to fight him with. This proliferation of modern Bibles hasn't caused people to understand their Bible anymore. Listen, you would know it if you spent the kind of time with people that I do. I take this Bible, I take it to people's homes, I preach it from the pulpit, I open it up, and people have studied sometimes for 50 years. And they're all struck that day after day that they open the Bible, they learn something new, something more than they knew. There are all kinds of people who have Bibles. They don't know what's in them. That's why we call this broadcast the Unknown Bible. You got it. You don't know what's there. And you know why? Because you're depending upon men. You are depending upon scholarship to tell you what God said, and you're not going to find out what God said that way. You're going to find out what God said by getting on your knees and humbling yourself before the words of God and believing what he said. And then the Holy Spirit, knowing your heart is humble before him and that your mind is believing, then the Holy Spirit will teach you what's in this book. And there is not one obscure passage in an authorized King James Bible, because God knows what's in it. He wrote the book, and he will tell you what he wants you to know about what's in it. And when he does, you will know those words by faith, and those words will be so strong in your possession by faith that you will be able to fight against the devil, and the devil does not want you to be able to do that. That's why he's milked down the words. That's why he's watered down the words. That's why he's destroyed or attempted to destroy God's words. What a shame that people have bought into that lie just because the people that sold that lie to him were good, godly men. There was a good godly man in the Old Testament who was an old prophet, well known in his region. And a young prophet came into his region preached against Jeroboam and left town. That old prophet deceived that young man, lied to that young man, invited him back to his house to have a meal. And because that young man came back to the house to have a meal with that old prophet whom he trusted, he died by the time he got back outside of town again. You know who killed him? A lion. What's the lion? Type of the devil. He didn't eat his carcass. He didn't eat the ass that the young man was riding on. He just killed him. And that's all the devil's interested in doing, just killing you. You have a Bible, and you won't use it. And as a result, all the power that God has given you in the sword of the Lord, you leave gathering dust as an ornament on your coffee table. You ought to be ashamed. You say, "Preacher, man, you're coming on strong today." Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You know why we're not getting done more for Christ in this earth than we should? Because of that book. It's not in you. It doesn't control you. You don't read it. You don't believe it. You don't eat it. You don't live by it. And until you do, you're going to be powerless in your Christianity. I marvel right now. I get an opportunity every week to preach to some ladies that are putting their lives back together again. And a friend of mine wrote some Bible study courses on every single chapter of the Bible. So I took the courses down there and I said, "Ladies, I can only preach to you once a week, but you can get into God's words and start studying His words every day if you'll take these lessons." And you know, they started doing that. They started taking those lessons. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. They have grown more in the last 6 to 8 weeks than I have ever seen in the years that I've been involved in this ministry. And I know why it is. They are starting to get power in their lives because God's words are the sword of the Lord, and now they're able to start doing battle against the flesh. Now they're able to start doing battle against the world, which had them in bondage, and now they're able to start doing battle against their adversary. And I'm going to tell you something. It's because they know the sword of the Lord is in their hands. The sword of the Lord is in their brains. What are they reading? An authorized King James Bible. Some of them barely have a high school education. You say, "Well, they can't be getting it." Boy, the Holy Spirit's giving it to them. They sure are getting it. So when the Lord says to Nineveh, when the Lord says to Assyria, when He says to the Ethiopians, "You're going to be slain by my sword," can you just get something in your head? They're going to be so wiped out that all you're going to see there is wild birds and beasts. Now you have an old man that needs to be crucified, that needs to be slain by the sword of the Lord. Paul says, "I die daily." The power to be able to accomplish that is in the pages and in the words on the pages of this book. And if he can take out all the Ethiopians, if he can take out Assyria and Nineveh and turn it into a wilderness, let me tell you something, he can put down that old man that's been battling you so hard in your life. But you're going to have to pick up the book. You say, "I don't have an appetite for it." Boy, your spirit does. Of course your body doesn't have an appetite for it. Of course your flesh is aggravated about having to read the Bible in the morning. Why? Because when you do, the Bible's killing it. Don't think you're going to get up all enthusiastic. "Oh, I get to read my Bible again today." Oh, joy. There's going to be every kind of distraction in the world to take you out of your Bible reading. Because your body knows, you start reading that, your body's history. It's your spirit that's going to live strong and powerful for the Lord God. These ladies I was telling you about, you know what's happening to them now in public doctor's appointments and various things like that? They are having the opportunity now to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? That book is in control of their lives. It is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. And as long as they continue to live under the authority of those words and continue to believe those words and eat those words and live by those words and handle that sword, God's going to continue to give them that kind of victory. Let me tell you something. You are making a terrible mistake in your life if you are not in your Bible every day. Let me say it one more time. That Bible is the sword of the Lord. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Your battle armor includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you leave that thing sit idle, or you subject yourself to listen to some preacher who's just mealy-mouthed and doesn't believe those words, you know what? You are never going to amount to anything for Christ because you don't have your weapon. I mean, you'll you do a few things for him, but I mean, you'll never be in the fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. How could he say that? He says to us, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You can't do that. You know why? Nothing to fight with. David took down Goliath with a stone and a sling. You got to use a sword. And if you don't get used to handling that sword, you're going to get torn up. You say, what are you telling me, preacher? I'm telling you this. If God's sword is so powerful, he can take away half the population of the earth with it, and the sword is connected to his words, then there is as much power in those words as what you see in that sword that we just described, and you are denying yourself that great power of God to live the Christian life by not getting in the book. I'll tell you something. When I got saved, I mean, I look at it now, if I got saved, I mean, that's how drastically different getting right with God was compared to getting saved. But let me tell you, when I trusted Christ as my Savior as a 15-year-old teenager, I did not read the Bible. I heard it preached, I heard it taught, but I did not read the Bible. Then when I was older, in my very young 30s, and I began to read that Bible, everything in my life changed. We've been doing this Bible reading 22 years, and let me tell you something. My life is still changing. There's still power. There's still areas that the Lord is conquering. 22 years. You know what that says? That says, if you want to start living and you want to start fighting and you want to start winning some battles, get in that book. You say, which one? The Authorized King James Bible. Don't settle for anything less. Not a New Scofield Bible. That says Authorized King James Bible. It's not. They've changed it in 1,000 places. Get you an old Authorized King James Bible. Get on your knees and your face before God and say, God, I realize now the power of this Christian life is in this book. I'm going to pick up that sword and I want to let that sword have control of my life and now go to battle. Put my flesh down and give me grace, Father, to put this thing out everywhere I can to see souls saved and to defeat the forces of the enemy. And I'll tell you what, he'll give you what you need out of that book. You believe it? You believe it? Take him up on it. That's what we encourage you to do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.